Aston Villa claimed a historic Champions League win, a first home game in the competition in more than 40 years. John Duran, the match winner against the mighty Bayern. A huge shock in France as Lille beat defending champions Real Madrid, and Benfica hit four against Atletico. So much drama. Let's get into it. What a night. Match day two in the UEFA Champions League. Liverpool with a victory, wins as well for Atalanta, Feyenoord and Club Brugge. Two games as we go on air still being played. Leipzig 2, Juventus 3 in Germany at the moment, deep into added time. Still 2-2 between Dinamo Zagreb and Monaco there. In fact, the full-time whistle has gone. It is a draw in Croatia. What a match as well. Joining me on the show, Rob Daly, is Kevin Hatchard, European football expert. Kev, what? Probably the best night we've had so far in the new look Champions League.
I love this competition because you get so many great stories and you get so many displays of real courage, you know, taking on some of the biggest teams in European football, playing your football, sticking to it, using the crowd. It's brilliant. It's what we're in football for.
They're still playing in Leipzig. There's roughly a minute and a half to go there, but some story, because Juventus went down to 10 men, Kev, and then were 2-1 down away at Leipzig.
To come back from being a goal down and a man down is the kind of thing that really cements a relationship between a new coach and his players, and they have played with such desire and quality. I mean, the goal to equalise from Vlahovic was outstanding. Conceição has been a big hit since coming in from Porto, putting them in front. To do that with 10 men against one of the strongest teams in Germany, that really takes some doing. And Thiago Motta, it's all been about defensive strength for them so far, but they've shown that they can score goals as well in the last week.
And how about Lille? We'll get into this, of course, but how about Lille beating Real Madrid? Jonathan David with a penalty.
It's a sensational result, and what it is a rare example of is a team, when they've been on top against Real Madrid, actually managing to see it through. Time and time again, we see Real Madrid get off the canvas, come back and win the fight. That didn't happen on this occasion, and that is a massive step forward for Lille, because obviously had a change of coach. Bruno Genesio came in for Paulo Fonseca. Again, it's the kind of thing that gives Genesio that boost as a coach alongside his players. It's a brilliant night for them.
OK, let's remind you of how all the games unfolded on Match Day 2 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Girona 2, Feyenoord 3 in an early kickoff. Shakhtar 0, Atalanta 3. Liverpool 2, Bologna 0. Benfica 4, Atletico 0. Dinamo Zagreb 2. Monaco 2, Sturm Graz 0, Club Brugge 1, Lille 1, Real Madrid 0, Juventus-Leipzig still being played, Leipzig 2, Juventus 3. But we have to start our Wednesday night review at Villa Park, where we were treated to a special night in the second city of England.
Not since the days of Rotterdam in 82 have Aston Villa had it quite like this. Now Luca Digne coming forward on the overlap, the dead ball line, he loops in the cross to the back post! Watkins heads it over the top! Altorres at the back post, Philogene turns, Altorres! He's poked it in! Aston Villa lead! What a moment! And just listen! Listen to what it means! The goal is going to be ruled out here. Lise scampers away from Tielemans and curls a shot, which is brilliantly saved by Martinez. Excellent ball fed forward, and Duran shoots! What a hit and what a goal! The super sub has done it again! And he has netted one of Aston Villa's most historic goals for decades! Aston Villa 1, Bayern 0. It's all over! What a night to be an Aston Villa fan. Aston Villa 1, Bayern 0.
And yes, it's midweek, but I'm sure many of those supporters will celebrate long into the night. Remarkable scenes at full time. Great scenes at full time as well in Leipzig, because Juventus have won that game by 3-2. We're going to discuss that unbelievable match a little bit later in the show. But let's bring in your match commentator. You just heard him there, Joe Shannon. And Joe, let's start with the goal. Another, and he's done it already this season, another John Durant stunner off the bench.
You start to run out of words to find superlatives to describe this guy. Every time he comes off the bench, he invariably finds the net, and he so often does so in absolutely spectacular fashion. I mean, first of all, you've got to give credit to Pau Torres for the ball. It's a very deliberately aimed long pass up the middle, down that inside left channel. That was a position where Villa were threatening across the course of the evening. Bayern with that high line, goalkeeper Neuer had taken up a position on the edge of his penalty area, had to backpedal because of the weight of the pass from Pau Torres. Midway inside his own half, to the midway point of the Bayern half, it drops for Duran about 25-30 metres out, but he hits it so early. To hit it that early with the confidence of the player, to take it beyond over the top of a goalkeeper like Neuer, leave him looking stranded, says all you need to know about the quality and the confidence of a man who's just 20 years old but is really making a name for himself now on the continent, I think.
We said all night that that ball in behind Bayern's high defensive line was on. But it was going to be whether Villa could find the right way to pass and find the opportunity. They were causing Dayo Upamecano quite a lot of problems in the first half. He got yellow carded because of a wrestling match with Ollie Watkins. So Watkins did some damage in that first half. Upamecano, I thought, actually, for most of the second half, defended outstandingly well for a guy who was on a yellow card. The one misjudgment he made was when Martinez came to get that cross, bowled it out to the left, and he recognised the danger a second, and I mean a second, too late, and he can't get to Duran in time. But the finish is outrageous. And the thing I find really interesting about Duran, what we know about Unai Emery, what does he love? Discipline, shape, stick to the game plan. There aren't many Mavericks, but he's got Duran in there, and that can work really well sometimes, because if he's super unpredictable, it just gives you a totally different dimension.
Well, that's the thing with Mavericks. If they're really good, they're allowed,
yeah,
aren't they, for any head coach. Talk about the game plan, Joe, and how well Villa executed it tonight.
Incredibly well. I don't think Emery could have wanted it to go any better. I think it was near enough a 10 out of 10 against this Bayern team. When you look at how free-flowing they've been so far this season, Kev, the goals that they've scored under Vincent Kompany, not just the 9 that they hit on match day 1, but across the course of the campaign so far, they'd scored 30 in their first 7 matches coming into the new season, coming into this game tonight. The way that Aston Villa sat, compact, off the ball, the discipline, the selection of players, Jadon Philogene, nobody, I think, expected him to be in the starting 11 on the course of the night for Aston Villa. How disciplined was he in that right-sided midfield position? So I think they knew enough, got everything right. Yes, you have to have a bit of luck as well. Yes, you need your goalkeeper, and Martinez certainly came up with 2 brilliant saves once Villa had taken the lead.
Yeah, I think what we didn't see from Bayern that we have been seeing under Kompany, and certainly what we saw at the weekend, actually, even though they were held to a draw by Bayer Leverkusen, they made lots of chances in that game. We didn't see Bayern winning the ball high up the pitch like they normally have been. They've been swarming teams. They've had so many high regains, as you call them, you know, winning the ball near the opposition goal. We just didn't see that much in this game. And I think that was partially because Villa was so calm in possession. Made a shaky start. We talked about it in commentary. In the first 5 minutes, you wondered, OK, how are they dealing with the occasion here? Because there were misplaced passes, Villa giving possession up too cheaply. And then Unai Emery calmed them down. They stuck to the plan. The midfield was excellent, I thought.
No John McGinn.
Yeah, I thought they played with real, as a shield for that back four. Thought Konsa against Gnabry, when Gnabry got moved to the left, there was a spell where Gnabry looked really dangerous, and then Konsa took control of that situation with Philogene in front of him. For a kid of his inexperience, he was outrageously good.
We have to remember where Unai Emery has taken Aston Villa. When he took over 2 years ago, they looked like they were in danger of relegation out of the Premier League, and there was no great shape to the makeup of the squad, certainly not in terms of how they were playing on the field. But in particular, he's made Villa Park such a tough place for teams to go. And there is an element, I think, of personal triumph about Emery tonight, because He's only the second manager to beat Bayern in the Champions League with as many as three different clubs. The only other manager to do that, Juan Jose Mourinho. So I think you have to give so much credit to Emery for the way it's not just all about him, of course. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes and it's about signings and everything. But, you know, Villa fans will be pinching themselves in terms of just how quickly they've elevated their position in such a short space of time.
You cast your mind back to that Unai Emery run to the semi-finals of this competition with Villarreal. All the same principles are there. You know, compact, make it really tough for teams, you know, knocked out Bayern with Villarreal. And, you know, it's all about taking time off the clock, being calm, and then when your opportunity comes, you take it. That's the key. Because they knew they weren't going to get many, and just that little bit of magic from Duran made the difference.
Let's hear from one of the Villa heroes, goalkeeper Emi Martinez, who said the atmosphere at Villa Park tonight was inspirational.
It's unreal, to be fair. It's the loudest Villa Park that I heard since I joined the club, that's for sure. You know, it was hurting my ears at some point. You know, it's a club that's moving forward. You know, like, that's the main reason why I stay in this football club. You know, I love playing here. I love the fans. So this is a good win for them.
He recently signed his new contract. Quick one on him, Kev. He is a big game player, if ever there was one.
He's a World Cup winning goalkeeper for a reason. I mean, he is. The mentality is such a key part.
I think he loves a game like that, though.
Absolutely.
Doesn't he? The frenzy and the chaos.
He grows. When other players shrink, he grows in this kind of environment. And the saves he made, certainly the one from Gnabry, so important and so impressive.
I could talk about this game all night. We're going to see if we're going to get more reaction to the match a little bit later in the show, but we should shift things on to Lille and their victory against Real Madrid. Jonathan David's penalty just before half time. Camavinga's handball took it brilliantly past André Lunin. There was no Thibaut Courtois tonight. Mbappe came off the bench coming back from injury. But ultimately, Kev, it feels like Lille deserved the win, and they had their own heroic goalkeeper in play too.
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent display with no fear. And as you say, you know, when you've got somebody like Chevalier in goal, you know, that gives you a major boost. I think he's a rising star. Jonathan David, we've talked about for years, is somebody that doesn't look out of place at this level. Somebody who has helped them win the league and a title in seasons gone by. And Paulo Fonseca did a brilliant job last season to get them into this competition. It's not easy for Bruno Genesio, who's a very good and very experienced coach, has had lots of games in this competition, but for him to come in and actually take the team forward, that's really quite something. Hanging on to Jonathan David was really important in the summer. And it's about, against Real Madrid, you do get opportunities, you do get spells where they're second best. It's about maximising those. It's not many teams who do it, but they've absolutely done it. Real Madrid have not lost in La Liga for a year. That's the scale of what they've done tonight.
Brilliant celebrations as well from the Lille supporters. And around that penalty, Kev, it was a long wait for Jonathan David. Talk about that.
And he's on great form at the moment. I mean, he got a hat-trick against Le Havre at the weekend in Liga. And the ball got re-spotted. Big, big delay. And he smashed it away with such confidence and such belief. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's unflappable. He's consistent. He's really added that to his game in recent seasons. And he's a real leader from the front for this team. I love Chigrova, really kind of old
Looks
school winger, one-on-one, really dangerous. They're a really good side, and this will give them immense confidence.
Let's go to Leipzig 2, Juventus 3. On any other night, it probably would have been the result of the night. And full credit to the Bianconeri, Thiago Motta with, would you argue it's his first big statement win? They went down to 10 men. They were 2-1 down. Two stunning goals from Dusan Vlahovic. There were goals from Benjamin Sesko for Leipzig, respectively. But to go on and win that with substitute Francisco Conceição scoring a brilliant goal at the end is absolutely extraordinary.
I think it's the biggest validation of Thiago Motta's coaching and football so far.
At 2-2, Kev, he was... they scored and he was just pointing to his temple at his players as if, like, there's still a game to win here.
And they came to him. When they scored the winner, they came to him. And I think this is the kind of result against the odds, away from home, man down, goal down. If you come back and win the game, it it just cements that bond between a coach and his players. If you look at what Thiago Motta did at Bologna last season, it was all about that. It was all about convincing his players that his methods work. And they absolutely loved him. And he maximised their abilities. And that's what he's starting to do here. The irony here is, there's all this talk about Dusan Vlahovic, the kind of centre-forwards that will do well for Thiago Motta because he's an old-school classic number nine. Joshua Zirkzee, who's since moved on to Manchester United, wasn't like that at all, but he was his starting centre-forward. Well, Vlahovic is just saying, well, if I get a couple of goals every game, then we can put that debate to rest, I think.
Yeah, and he was terrific. Right. Juventus, of course, have been a team that have, you know, were challenging for the Champions League title. They haven't for a few years, but a big win for them tonight, Joe.
Well, you just watched the quality of the finishing for the goals, Rob, I think. And I mean, it's top class and it's top quality. And, you know, it's a night in the Champions League where I think we've seen quality all across the continent. But as far as comeback wins are concerned, as far as results of the night are concerned, that one's got to be up there, I think.
Absolutely right. OK, let's move to Anfield next. Liverpool, 2-0 winners against Bologna. Let's hear from the man that opened the scoring on the night, Alexis McAllister. And first, goalkeeper Alisson.
It was a fantastic game, really tough opponent. They play really well with the ball and without the ball. They are aggressive. They are a strong team. Always play against Italian sides are difficult, but we did good to manage their game and to score enough to win the game and to defend well to keep the clean sheet.
Yeah, really happy personally, but at the same time for the team. As Ali said, he made some good save. Sometimes I think we need to defend better, but at least Ali could show how good he is, so very happy for him and for the team.
That's what he's there for, and Alisson Becker dependable as ever because Bologna did have their spells in the game. Mo Salah, the player of the match, for his wonderful assist to set up Alexis McAllister. He just had to nudge it into the net, and a brilliant individual goal himself. And this transition to Arne Slot, the top of the Premier League, two wins in the Champions League, extremely impressive, Joe.
It's been pretty smooth, hasn't it? Just the one defeat so far. That was a shock defeat, really, at home to Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. Some of these Liverpool players seem to have taken on a new lease of life, and I wonder whether Mo Salah, in particular, has been somewhat of a beneficiary of the managerial change over the summer. That is 49 Champions League goals now, by the way, for Salah, which is an extraordinary tally, even given just how good he's been for Liverpool over the years. Arne Slot was saying in the week, wasn't he, how much he was looking forward to sampling one of those famous European nights at Anfield. And it's all gone very smoothly so far. I don't think many would have expected there to have been as few bumps in the road as there have been up to this point.
Yeah, they've been excellent so far. It wasn't perfect, though. At 1-0, Bologna made chances. Alisson made a really good save. They got into some good positions. But that's what's happening to Bologna at the moment because, you know, Vincenzo Italiano did brilliantly with Fiorentina, got them to a couple of finals in the Conference League. It's not quite happening for him. They're not losing many games, but they're not winning many either. So it's just those little tweaks, those little changes. They've still got some injured players to come back. But I think he'll take some positives from that.
Wouldn't have necessarily been one of the games anyway. They'd be thinking they're going to go get a victory at in-form Liverpool. Mo Salah, by the way, the third player to score in 5 successive Champions League home games for a Premier League side, after Thierry Henry did it 7 times with Arsenal and Ruud van Nistelrooy with Manchester United. Let's head to Lisbon next. Can't believe this is so far down on our running order, but this is just how dramatic the night has been in the Champions League, Kev. Benfica beat Atletico Madrid by 4-0, and I honestly cannot think of many occasions when this Diego Simeone era side has suffered a defeat like that.
They didn't have a shot on target, Atletico. Benfica had 10. And I'm not joking when I'm saying it could have been 5 or 6 or 7.
Yeah, Oblak made some great saves on the night.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Aktürkoğlu scored the opener. He's been great since coming in from Galatasaray. Played really well for Galatasaray, as we know, last season in the UEFA Champions League. They got the penalty from Di Maria and then took it on a level. 2-0 up, you might have put the handbrake on and said, OK, this will do us. This is going to be a brilliant result. They kept going and going and going. And what I think that's indicative of is the mood under Bruno Lage. Bruno Lage has gone back as coach. Previously, he was the youth coach for years and years and years, got promoted, won the league, went away, has been at Wolves and Botafogo, has gone back to Benfica to replace Roger Schmidt. And there is a real energy and a real commitment to attack. If you look at Bruno Lage, he's always wanted to play smooth attacking football. Well, boy, didn't they do that.
Nenad Bjelica nearly had a dream first Champions League game in charge of Dinamo Zagreb. This season, they drew 2-2 with Monaco. They led by 2-0. Smart finishes from Petar Šušić and Martin Batarina in pouring rain. But into the final 15-16 minutes, Salisu managed to scramble a rather ugly goal, let's face it, over the goal line before Denis Zakaria's penalty in the 90th minute. And I suppose Monaco, Kev, are showing some real character in this competition, having beaten Barcelona and got themselves into this situation.
And they show real character at the weekend as well, because they scored a really late winner against Montpellier. And it's quite impressive because there are some youngsters in that side. Adi Hütter, I think, has instilled real belief. They again play really free-flowing attacking football. It was a difficult pitch, lots of water on the surface. Yeah. Wasn't easy to try and play that kind of football. But as you started with, you're absolutely right. You know, Dinamo deserve massive credit. To lose 9-2 in your opening game and come back and nearly beat Monaco, who are right up there with Marseille and Paris at the top of Ligue 1, that's really quite something. And I thought the first goal they scored was outstanding. Batarina finding Šušić, really lovely finish in difficult conditions. So they'll feel, I think, after that, okay, do you know what? We can compete at this level. We've still got 6 games to go.
Yeah, long way to go in the new league phase format. And if you finish in the top 24, remember, you are at least guaranteed a place in the playoffs for the round of 16. Another late kickoff to mention, Sturm Graz 0, Club Brugge 1. Player of the match, Christos Solis, scored the first half goal that was enough to get the Belgian side their first points of the competition this season. Let's hear from him.
It was important for our confidence now. It was a bad loss against Dortmund. We deserve better. We play really good football also there, 75 minutes. So today I think we controlled the game. The most of the game we had the control. And yeah, it's really nice to have the 3 points in Champions League, and now we continue on the league on Sunday game as well.
On any other night, that probably would have been the goal of the night from Christos Solis, right up there. But we've had so many screamers. A brilliant right-footed curling effort to win that match in Austria. Remember, they were beaten by Dortmund on match day one. Club Brugge with their first points in the competition. Still to come, look back at tonight's early kickoff and what's in store on match day 3.
You've heard the action, now watch it. Download the official UEFA Champions League app to watch free highlights from tonight's matches from midnight wherever you are.
Match day 2 has been a real treat, and there were 2 games in action earlier in the day in the UEFA Champions League. Here's what happened in both of them.
Set piece sent in, the header blocked away, there's Lopez! Girona's flag planted on the Champions League stage. Up by Shaw on the set play. And there's an own goal. I think the last touch here was off a defender. And Feyenoord have levelled the game within moments of going behind. It's a super run here by Dan Juma. Van der Beek! What a time to score! Your first goal for Girona. Hand score. Drilled across. Oh, another own goal. Off Krejci this time. And in the space of their first 2 games, they've scored now 3 of the opposition's 4 goals against them. And that is the full-time whistle. And Girona's first home game, a topsy-turvy thriller, but won here by Brian Priska's Feyenoord.
In from Lukman, looking for the touch-on! And Berat Cimşiti gives Atalanta the lead! And now Kolasinac, and now Lukman! Finally, they turn the brilliance into a second goal! Zappa Costa in support, indeed! The job is done. It was done a long time ago by Gasperini and Atalanta.
Really good result for Atalanta. In fact, Shakhtar didn't register a shot on target on the night. And given that they've already played Arsenal at home, and that away game, a tricky one, they have 4 points on the board. But let's look at Girona 2, Feyenoord 3. The visiting side's head coach, Brian Priska, recognised that his side had to battle to secure their first win of the league phase.
I think this was a win, especially from second half, where we had to fight a little bit more than we would like to. Mindset was important, and all the players who were on the pitch at the end of the game, they did everything they could to deny Girona the equalizer. So big praise for that and big respect for that. Sometimes you also need this. There's no doubt we want to play football, and I think we also showed it in first half that we have good moments on the ball and good spells where we can make it difficult for any team. Not everything is perfect, but just like Girona, then unfortunately things takes a little bit of time, and that's time you don't have in football, but the team is progressing every day and every game, and that's also what I saw today.
His first Champions League win since replacing Arne Slot in the summer. Some response after that 4-0 loss to Leverkusen on match day one. Earlier, I caught up with our reporter at the game, Graham Hunter, as he shared his reflections of an extraordinary night as Girona hosted Champions League football for the first time in their history.
When we listened both to Prisk, the Danish coach of Feyenoord, the winner, and Michel tonight, for as much as we were hugely entertained for 95 or 96 minutes, there was a great deal to learn about their respective footballing philosophies, which, as you pointed out, gave us a spectacle. 5 goals, 2 missed penalties, and umpteen other chances.
Graham, I know they lost, but can you talk about the spectacle and the occasion for Girona hosting their first Champions League game?
There was chant and counter-chant between the visiting Feyenoord fans and the Girona fans, who went absolutely crazy, local, as you would expect, when they scored their historic first-ever home goal in the Champions League. I was thrilled as an Aberdeen fan to see ex-Aberdeen player Bojan Miloski win the header from the corner that set up David Lopez. And when he thumped the ball with his left foot into the net, you had that feeling, oh, maybe this is a special night beyond simply the first. Maybe this will be a win. Maybe this will be celebratory. Maybe they'll convert everything they did well in Paris, where they lost that late Gazzaniga own goal, remember, into a victory. And yet, instantly they conceded, then again gave away a penalty. Gazzaniga saved. What was true was that while Girona didn't play to the coach's instructions, Feyenoord really had it quite easy. And for the neutral fan, either here or watching on television or listening to your radio show, they'd have been thrilled. It was topsy-turvy. However, Girona's personality was really well re-established in the second half. He asked his players to play competitively, aggressively, not physically aggressively. He asked his players to take risks, to play forward all the time. And he said, listen, we were spectacular in the second half. And Coach Prisk admitted that Feyenoord were on the ropes a little bit. What he really loved was the way in which his team reacted. And Melambo, who got a goal, wasn't born the last time Feyenoord won away from home in the Champions League. So if we're talking about history for Girona, then Rob, we kind of have to say that Feyenoord wrote a little bit of history of their own here tonight.
Graham Hunter speaking to me earlier on in the day after Feyenoord's win at Girona. The other game in that early kickoff, so we mentioned it there, Atalanta with a victory at Shakhtar in this competition after winning the Europa League, of course.
Yeah, and Gasperini, the Atalanta coach, has talked about this a lot. He says, look, we've played a lot in this competition in the last few years. We are comfortable in it. We do believe we can compete in it. Obviously, we were in the Europa League last season and we won that. Why shouldn't we have belief in the Champions League? And they've been outstanding so far.
OK, it feels a bit early to be looking at the league table, doesn't it, this new league phase. But who's in that top eight at the moment, Kev? Who's sort of dreaming of around a 16 spot?
Well, I think what's become clear is that Brest are going to win the Champions League. I think we've seen that. They've been brilliant.
Second at the moment in the table, 6 points.
Can you imagine if you'd said to a fan of Stade Brestois last season, you do know, early part of next season, you'll be top of the Champions
above
League.
Above Real Madrid and Bayern and Manchester City, yeah.
But it's great. They've really risen to the occasion. Borussia Dortmund top on goal difference at the moment. They were stellar against Celtic, I thought. That's what Dortmund can do. When they catch fire like that, they're really unstoppable. Benfica, very impressive. Bayer Leverkusen, impressive. Liverpool, Villa, Juventus, all looking very good so far.
I have heard theories that 15, 16 points will get you in that top eight. We don't know yet, do we?
But do you know what I love about this new format? That's fine that might get you into the top eight, but you don't stop there because you want a better seeding. You want to try and be the number one if you can, because in theory that makes it more straightforward for you down the track. It might not always work out like that, of course, but that's what I love about this, that jeopardy is maintained pretty much all the way through.
We're going to turn our attention back to Villa 1-0 shortly, but let's quickly have a look ahead to match days Three's fixtures now, the standout one being on Tuesday, the 22nd of October. Borussia Dortmund travel to Real Madrid, a repeat of the 2024 final. Let's remind you of how this one turned out at Wembley back in June.
Kroos delivers, the flick's there and it's in! It's Danny Carvajal of all people who meets the ball at the near post. Bellingham, this is the chance, this is to win the European Cup and it's in there! It's a new chapter in the history of the UEFA Champions League, but it's the old, old story. Real Madrid have won the UEFA Champions League once again.
Yes, it was a great night at Wembley Stadium. Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund, same night. We've got Juventus against Stuttgart, who are doing really well as well. Leipzig against Liverpool looks great on Wednesday, but there's a game you wanted to pick out, Kev.
Yeah, the Hansi Flick Classico. It's Barcelona against Bayern.
Not the Robert Lewandowski Classico or the Thiago Alcantara.
It's all about Hansi Flick. Fair enough. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great matchup because we've talked a lot actually on the show about new coaches and how the impact they've made. I think Flick has done a super job in Catalonia so far. I think he's got them playing his football already. High press, high energy, lots of goals. And Bayern fans will recognise that because, of course, he did that so effectively, won everything there was to win when he was Bayern coach, including the UEFA Champions League in 2020. So that's going to be a high-stakes clash, that, because they've both had a defeat so far in the league phase. Don't want to have a second one.
Let's go back to Aston Villa 1, Bayern 0, and we'll hear from Bayern striker Harry Kane on the difficulties his team faced at Villa Park tonight.
Yeah, we just lacked that final pass or that final finish in their box. You know, there was times in the first half we had chances to, you know, play that final ball across, or and then in the second half, you know, as especially after we went 1-0, we had a few chances there where the keepers made some good saves. But yeah, we have to learn from it. We have to watch it back. It's hard to really process it all now. But yeah, from our point of view, there was some good stuff. There's some stuff we still need to work on. We know that. But it's not a time to panic. You know, we've got another big game on Sunday. So yeah, we recover well and try and look forward to that.
Joe Shannon, match commentator for this one. A fair assessment there from the England captain?
I think so, but you have to give a lot of credit to Aston Villa for the way they defended and how compact they were off the ball. And it's not just about the back four and the goalkeeper in these situations, as we know. It's about how the whole team defends from the front. And Ollie Watkins, when he was on the field, John Duran, when he came onto the field, made sure that Aston Villa defended all 11 players as a terrific unit. And that, I think, made it really hard for Bayern to carve out clear-cut opportunities tonight.
The shock of the night, though, came in Lille, who stunned defending champions Real Madrid. Let's hear from player of the match, Edon Jegrova.
I think everybody gave everything in every position. That's what the coach asked, because we know Real Madrid has big quality. But I think today was the spirit of the team, everybody together. So I think this made the difference. If we continue like this, with the same mentality, with the same spirit, I hope we can go as far as possible. But we know Champions League is big stage, you have big teams, but we have to try to win every game. So.
The thoughts of Jegrova there after Lille's win against Real Madrid. Joe Shannon, let's have the moment of the night. I think it's quite an easy one to pick out from Villa Park, isn't it?
Well, I think you have to mention John Duran's goal, don't you?
It is something
pretty special, and the finish was remarkable. I also like Martinez's two arms up into the air like a gladiator once he made that save.
I enjoyed the commentary of that very much as well. Kev, look, of all the drama we've seen, 9 games, Wednesday match day 2, what's been the standout one for you, do you think?
Well, it's quite fitting. We should probably shout out, are you not entertained after all of these incredible games you've had? I know the obvious one is Lille against Real Madrid, but actually I'm going to give it to Juventus. Goal down, man down against one of the top sides in Germany, came back to win. Sensational.
We certainly were entertained. Kev, Joe, thank you very much for your company. That's just about all we have time for this evening. And a reminder, we'll be back on Tuesday, the 22nd of October, as Match Day 3 kicks into action. We'll be on air from 2045 CEST, ahead of live, uninterrupted commentary of Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. A repeat of that fascinating 2024 final between the two teams at Wembley. It should be a cracker. And a reminder that this very podcast will be available at the end of every match night of the competition. So make sure to subscribe, follow and download wherever you get your podcasts. Famous wins tonight for Aston Villa, Lille and Juventus in the UEFA Champions League. For now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.